You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Danny writes it. I do.
Just like that, little Greta told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like a bit, and I don't mind.
Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters. How's it going over there, Cap?
It's going good. Flying by.
Did you finish your steak sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Your steak breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I liked it. It was yummy.
Well, good.
Claudia just came out with a new album, didn't she?
Not yet. Not yet. She's coming out with a new album. Her manager.
Oh, that's you were listening.
Emailed
to.
Me, and I got a little sneak preview. It's going to be really good. So, for those of you who are a fan of Catch Me a Winner, which is our show theme song, make sure you stay tuned. Follow Claudia on Facebook, on Instagram, because she's got a new album coming out, and it is going to be good. I can't wait for her to go on tour. She needs to come down to this neck of the woods.
I bet you wish she'd come down here.
Yeah, that would be perfect. All right, we're going to head over to line one, because we've got Mr. Dave Westra standing by. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, she could be the co-host.
Yep.
Right, that's a great idea. I've actually been talking to her manager about having her come on the show. She called in right when we first switched hosts and we launched her song as the new theme. But that's a great idea, Dave. We need to get her in the studio.
Yeah, I think it would be fun.
Yeah, she
fun
grew up
for her and fun for the listeners.
For sure. And she grew up fishing in upstate New York. So she has some fishing experience, and that would be perfect. So how are things up there in North Fort Myers, Dave? What's the scoop?
The scoop is everybody this week was getting ready for the red snapper season. It's like,
yeah,
like the plague, you know? I mean, it's like everybody was been crazy, but
yeah,
we kind of expected it.
You got any weight left?
Well, we went through a lot of lead, for sure. Yeah. And the thing about it is, Greg, too, it was varied. Really good numbers of folks that were coming in. Not only were they buying conventional hooks, lines, sinker, that type of thing like that, but they were a lot of them were buying jigs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there either jigging or slow pitch jigging or whatever. It was a mm-hmm. fair number of people doing it artificially. So
yeah.
It's been a good week. It's been a lot of fun. Yesterday morning was from the get-go, from the time we opened the door pretty much till the time we closed it, there were people in here, all day, constantly, you know, hardly any time to sit down or actually, have to, this doesn't not go sound right, but get some work done,
yep.
You know,
yep.
I mean, it was just kind of crazy. Yeah, I was, something I'm going to touch on, too, that you were talking about before. I was glad to hear you go over, you know, the fishing for these fish during the hot,
yes,
hot temperature, hot water temperatures. That's been a kind of a thing with me. I find it more with fly fishermen, particularly fly people that are new to the area or that are coming down on vacation, and they come in, you have any flies? And I say, yeah, well, we're looking at flies, and I'm just start talking to them. Well, what fly rod are we talking about here? Well, I brought my 6 weight down, I brought my 5 weight down, and I says, and what is it that you want to do? Oh, well, I want to go snooker redfish fishing. And I say, well, yeah, it's not that you can't, and I understand that you want to. It'd be a feather in your cap if you could land your fish on your 5 or 6 weight, but that's not really what we need to do here. You need to be 8s or 9s this time of the year. You need to get them in quick,
yep.
Or else they're going to roll over on you.
Yep.
And the other part, too, is the people that in Spiny. Well, I want to see, how big a fish I can catch on as light a tackle as I can use. So I want a snookfish with ultralight.
Bad idea.
4-pound, 6-pound line. You say that. I'd say, no. Don't want to do it. You're gonna kill the fish. And believe me, I understand it. I mean, the kick of being able to land a really nice fish on extremely light tackle or class tippet is an exciting thing for folks. But in our warm water area down here, it'll kill them.
You will kill them. It will kill them. There's no doubt about that. Even if you had a 30-pound braid. And you hooked a giant redfish, and you just slowly reeled him in, and just it took you 10 minutes to get him back to the boat. By the time he got in, he'd be done.
Yeah, I back when I was a lot more active, I used to go to an area that I call the Buckkey Bar. It's in Pine Island Sound. It's right at the head of where Blind Pass comes into Pine Island Sound, and it's real shallow back in there. And my wife and I used to go there, particularly in August, and when we would have these two tide days, and you'd get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it would be ankle to knee deep at the best, not even over your knee, but I'd say ankle to calf deep, and. And we'd wade fish them, and I'd fly fish them, and I'd be using me because I'm a 9-weight guy. I've always liked 9-weight rods. They're more powerful, and you can do a lot more with them. And you hook up a nice redfish, and get him in 3 minutes, mm-hmm. and get the fly out of his mouth, and take him by the tail, and wiggle him, and he would. His tail would stiffen up, and he'd swim off, and he'd swim about 6 feet, and he would stop me, roll over on his side, mm-hmm. and it was almost like having your pet redfish because you walk right over to him and pick him back up again, and run some more, get water running through his gills, and he'd stiffen up again and swim away and not very far, and turn around, roll over on the side. And I never quite really understood. Why they are that sensitive. Now, obviously, low oxygen has a lot to do with it. And I don't know where they get an air bubble in their brain or what. I never have understood it because I've had fish to the point that if they did not swim away from me and absolutely get away from me and disappear, if I kept having to pick him up, I would pick him up and take him and put him in my live well in the boat.
Yep.
And they would stay in that live well for, I don't know, 3 hours, 4 hours. And when you get them out, they're floppy and ready to go. I put them back in the water again, and they don't go very far, and they roll over on their side. And when that would happen towards the end of the day, I end up taking them home because if I didn't eat them, something else was going to eat them. I mean, they're really, really sensitive to hot water.
Yeah.
Now, you got, and then the live well thing is, it does work. You know, you got an 1,100-gallon pump booking water through there. They kind of will set themselves up so they're into the current in your live well. And it does make a difference if you get a fish that goes up belly up on you when you get it right to the boat.
Yeah.
You know, but I still recommend keeping the fish in the water. Even if you net the fish, you don't have to pull him in the boat right away. He's in the net. Just leave him in the water. Let him be. Keep them in the water as long as you can. Take the quick picture and then let it go properly. Release it properly. Give it time. And you know, if it goes belly up and it's in season, well, you know, good. Go ahead, I guess. Take it home.
Yeah, I do have I got a couple of stories too. My oldest son, Captain Mark Westra, and my granddaughter Taylor, last Sunday, they went out and they decided they were going to go tarpon fishing, and Mark put in it at Punarassa, and he went to the normal haunts that everybody goes. They went out off of Naps, and then they moved on up towards Redfish a little bit, and there were groups of folks out there fishing, but he didn't see anybody necessarily hooking up that particular time of the day, so he moved from spot to spot, and he saw fish, but they couldn't get anything to eat. So they finally came inside and got north of Chino. I'll say between Chino Island and Regula Island, there's a, a 5 or 6 foot depression in there. And he saw a couple of fish roll, and he didn't get any bites. And he noticed a float that was about 50 yards away from him. And so he said to Taylor, we can motor over there and grab that float and put it in a boat, you know. And it was like a popping cork type float, I guess. And so they start over there, and they get almost to it, and the float goes under and moves away from them. And so he said, well, there's a fish on it, so we're just waiting to see if it pops up again. If it does, then we'll go after it with the electric trolling motor rather than idling over to it with the boat motor. But anyway, eventually it popped up a ways away from him, so he trolling motors over to it, and the closer he gets to it, the float's actually moving, so the fish on the end of it is slightly swimming. And what had happened, whoever had it on, they had broken off, not down at the leader end, but at the line end, and so up by the float there was a mass of line that was tangled up around the float area. So Mark takes one of his rods, makes a cast with the hook on it, and pulls it back through there, snags the mess.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish, all of a sudden, the lines tighten up, and the fish comes out there. It's about a 3.5-4 foot tarpon on the end of it. So,
well, see, he caught his tarpon.
Taylor caught it, ended up fighting the fish over, and they got it over right next to the boat, and Mark went to reach down to release the fish, and a hook came out of his mouth. I mean, so he got a nice boat release there without having to touch it. But I thought it was kind of cool that he had this tangle of mess of line on there that they're fighting the fish with, and end up actually catching the fish and getting next to the boat. So
sounded like the line broke off the reel when they were fighting.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It did. That's how it was. Then it was all tangled and messed up with the fish pulling it around. Then the other story that I got that came up this week is that Forrest Gump died.
What, Dave? What?
Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump died, and he went up to heaven, and St. Peter was standing outside the gate, and St. Peter said to Forrest, said, Forrest, there's so many people coming up here now because of COVID and everything. We've got to give you a test, and if you pass the test, then you get to get into heaven. And Forrest said, well, my mama said that if I take a test, I kind of have to think about what I'm going to say so I don't get the answer wrong. And so St. Peter said, well,
it's a pretty good Forrest Gump impression right there.
I'm sure you'll do pretty well on it. It says, as far as the first question is, there are 2 days of the week that have T's in them. Could you name those 2 days? And Forrest said, well, I'm going to have to think about it for a minute. And then he says, well, yes, I know two days. There's today and tomorrow. And so St. Peter said, Forrest, that's not quite what I was thinking about, but we'll accept that answer. It says the second question is how many seconds are there in a year? And Forrest said, well, now that's a pretty hard question right there. I'm going to have to think about that. And he said, okay, he said, I have it. There are 12 seconds in a year. And St. Peter said, well, 12 seconds? And he says, yeah. He says, there's January 2nd. There's February 2nd. And St. Peter says, okay, Forrest. All right, okay. I'll accept that answer. He said, the third question is what is God's first name? And Forrest said, well, I know what that is right away because my mom and I go to church every Sunday. Says, It's Andy. And St. Peter said, Andy? How do you come up with the name Andy? He said, well, we sing about him every Sunday. He says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And St. Peter opens the gate and says, run, Forrest, run.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that was a good one, Dave.
I told your Pope joke to one of my clients this week, and it went over really well. Just so you know.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Anyway, you got another one for him next week, I guess.
It's always good to know that you're supplying Greg with some comedic content, Dave, that he can parlay into his fishing trips.
Sometimes you have young kids on the boat and you can't say some of the jokes that you normally do.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks for the clean jokes,
you need
Dave.
Clean jokes.
Plus, this is radio.
That's right.
This is real talk, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a family fishing show.
Yes,
this is a family show.
The other thing I think you were talking earlier, Debbie, is about this freshwater runoff we got from these rains. And, of course, in our area up here, and typically in North Fort Myers, there's a lot of canal systems and creeks that empty into the Caloosahatchee. And,
right.
And you're right. You got to be aware that water's come bubbling out or flying out of the up through a trough or something like that. But fishing the mouth of Hancock Creek or Powell Creek or Billy's Creek mm-hmm. is always good in and around the Caloosahatchee. But a lot of folks take off and head out to Burnt Store.
Mm-hmm.
And get out off of Burnt Store Road where the weirs are, and the water's just got to be really gushing over there now because we've had some really serious rain up here. I've had one day was 1.25 inches, next day was 3.5 inches, yesterday was 1.5 inches, so we've got plenty of water that's going to be flowing out of the creeks and ditches. And you're right, find that culvert pipe.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of the areas that have culvert pipes up, I'm gonna just particularly here in North Fort Myers, up off of Bayshore and 31, there's some creeks that cross those roads, and there's some culvert pipes on the river side of it, and they empty up into real narrow mouth creeks. They're not really wide. When I say narrow, they may only be but 10 or 15 feet across at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But those snook gang up at the bottom of the pipe.
Oh yeah,
and they're waiting for there. And so when you go there, you almost have to take an elephant gun with you to be able to handle him. I mean, because it's a strike, and you have to hold him where he is. You can't let him turn left or right. If he turns left or right on you, he's gonna cut you off in the overhang of the bushes and the limbs of the trees and things that are there. So, you know, be prepared when you fish that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave. That's so true. And I even remember last year, there were several mornings when, I know, Greg, you would go on your walks when you were in the off season, you didn't have a charter, and you'd be walking along the little drainage, you know, canals and areas along the sides of the roads. And Greg would see all these gar that would just be stacked up where there would be water, you know, gushing out of a pipe or coming over a weir. So, I mean, you know.
And snook and tarpon.
Yeah. For sure. But I'm, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kids and teenagers who are out and they're looking for places to fish. And there's places that are in your neighborhood or close to your neighborhood where you can go if you just.
Yeah,
well, the drainage
ditches he's talking about, you need a metal pipe and a 130-pound braid
tied
to a hook.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they're overlooked. I mean, people drive over them or walk over them every day and don't pay any attention to what's happening
that's,
on the other side there.
Right now, from here until for about a month, if you can keep an eye on the weirs by you and you know that day where that water finally breaches the top of that thing, the next day you fish that.
Yes.
It takes like a day, and then the fish figure it out, and then
They know there's all kinds of goodies that are going to come cruising over that weir, and they're going to be right at the bottom waiting to pounce on it. Oh my goodness. And they are playing our tune, Dave.
Okay, folks. Appreciate it.
Bye,
Dave. Have a great weekend, Dave. Yeah.
Thanks for
Forrest Gump. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
That is Mr. Dave Westworth, Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain.
Hey, the guy does make breakfast. If he wants the Bee Gees, he can have the Bee Gees, you know? I mean, it goes against everything I feel, but, you know, as I'm eating my bagel sandwich here, Greg, this one's for you, my man.
Yeah.
We're taking it back to the 70s here.
Yeah, just chilling out, relaxing, having a glass of wine with my girl.
He's got a little romantic look in his eye in there. But is that looking
no,
at the...
No, he doesn't.
Is that look, I, that's looking at the steak bagel, maybe.
That's exactly what was going on.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that had to be like 77, 78.
Ooh, that's definitely back then.
I'm guessing. I'm trying to Google it right now. And
the Bee Gees were pretty big back in that day.
They definitely. 77. It was 77. Which actually, this does parlay into fishing for me because that was the first year my grandfather took me fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
See, there's a reason.
I was five.
It's all connected. See, it's just, it's one big circle. It all connects.
Synergy.
That's right.
Plus, you just have to go on YouTube and watch the video that's up there because just purely for to see the fashion that was involved and the shirts and, you know, the gold chains. I mean,
I was just
all,
wormholing it.
It
I
was
just.
All
It just kept going, and I was like, oh, wow, look at this song. I haven't heard this in a while.
No, that's called yeah. You Were Going Down the Rabbit Hole, not the Wormhole.
I didn't even get to the Commodores yet.
Oh, my gosh. All right, yeah, anyway, so we got a text from Buddies. Buddies was out, he said, 18 miles on Tuesday, and he texted in a picture of a nice Cuda that he got, and I was checking out the background of his picture. It looks like he's got here a, cut it on a red tube lure.
Yep. You are heisting the backgrounds.
I'm telling you. Oh, yeah.
Nobody looks at backgrounds, dear.
Okay. All right. If you say so. Yeah.
Back. And that goes back a long ways.
Yes, it does. And then we got a text from LSU Tom. He wanted to extend his condolences to Chris on the passing of his grandfather. Yes, mm-hmm. We are definitely thinking about the Beasley family this week for sure. And Greg, so folks can find you. You're online at snookstampcharters.com.
Snookstampcharters.com. You can send me a message through that. You can certainly just call me or text me. You know, I'm at the Fishtail Marina on Fort Myers Beach. That's where I run out of. So most of the time I spend my days in Estero Bay or in the near shore waters, you know, adjacent to it, some of the wrecks and reefs. Just depends on what's going down. You know, this time of year for me, it's a lot of juvenile tarpon, a lot of snook, a lot of redfish, and, you know, depends what you're catering to your clients. You know, if you get somebody who just wants action and fun, we might just go after pompanos and, you know, ladies and macs or whatever. You know, if it's a kid, for example, that keeps them busy, snappers and stuff.
Yeah.
Or if it's somebody that wants to do something a little more technical, like I have a lot of clients who are totally down for going after the tarpon. You know, that's, they know it's not a game of numbers. It's a different
Well, I'm sure in the coming weeks, the juvenile tarpon action is going to heat up because
it'll go crazy.
You'll start seeing
the rain,
those rains that are flushing that water
the rain
out
the
rivers.
The rain is the trigger for those guys. Yep. And we'll have, you know, opportunities for these things now. Not that we haven't been able to catch them the last month or two. They're here. It's just they're not as happy, I guess, is a way of saying it. There's going to be more areas. They're going to turn on. They're going to spread out. They come out of these rivers and these creeks, you know, and they move into the bay. And it's quite a good time. You know, it's a really nice thing for a summer. You know, talking about summer fishing earlier, is you're out there early. So, you know, typically for myself, I'm leaving before the sun comes up.
Yeah, just make sure you bring the bug spray, because I'm here to tell you that going out before that sun comes up, those no-see-ums when you're fishing along the mangroves are brutal.
It's only for it's only the first hour. It's only the first hour. A lot of clients will do the bug dance if they're not willing to put bug spray on.
Yeah.
But you start early. You start early. And you have about 2 hours, roughly, to really have the shot at a lot of tarpon. Mm-hmm. You know, the juvies, 10 to 30 pounds, give or take, in the Stero. And, you know, if it's cloudy out, you'll get a little more time because they like those low light conditions for sure. And if not, you know, I might spend the last 2 hours fishing for snook. And that's a fun day. You're done before 10:30, 11. You're not in the heat. You can have a great morning and go on with your day and do whatever you want. You know, go home and maybe make your wife a nice dinner or take the dog.
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. I know. Yeah. We still have an anniversary to celebrate that we haven't had a chance to celebrate yet.
We're slowing down now.
I know. This past week, I actually got to get out and do some volunteer research with FWC, which was really cool. But it was also like my week to get caught up on dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, and everything after going full speed for season.
Plus, I hear Captain Debbie got a new book this week, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah. I did. I got to plan a little shopping trip.
By the way, I was just going to say, Greg, we got a text from the 239 also. It said, no more BGs. You're scaring the fish. So I think that's a great suggestion. So.
Hey, I was just going down the rabbit hole. That's it. I got to it. I'm like, wow, that's old school there. I mean, I didn't go as far as Kenny Rogers.
Oh, come on. If anything's going to soothe the, you know, the pescatarian savage beasts, it's going to be the Bee Gees.
Well, I just remember things that my parents listened to. You know, like you
totally Kenny Rogers.
You hear like the Barry Manilows, the freaking Kenny Rogers, the Bee Gees. Those were like songs I heard a lot.
Yeah. You know, before I forget too, I wanted to mention, so our friend Joe Mahler, he's up at Bass Pro Shops this morning from 9 to 11 doing some beginners fly casting in the back of the store near the lake. We're also going to be doing some fly tying from 11 to 1. And then I will be doing knot tying from 1 to 3 back towards the fly shop. So I know we're not talking fly fishing knot specifically, but I get a lot of people, a lot of my, you know, my female fishing friends will always ask me, I need help tying knots. This is your opportunity. We'll be up at Bass Pro from 1 to 3 today, so stop by and see us. And we've got room for, I don't know, 5 or 6 people at the table. So stop by, learn how to tie some knots, learn how to tie some flies.
What knots are you showing them?
I'm going to do the improved clinch, I'm going to do the uni, and the perfection loop.
Oh, those are good ones. Actually, that's about all you need. And then, again, do you ever do line to line for them, or?
Yeah, you do uni to uni, uni. Yep. Okay. All right, we're going to head over to line one because we've got future Captain Bradley Finch standing by. Hey, Bradley, how's it going?
Morning, Captain Debbie. How are you?
Doing fabulous. How are things?
It's pretty good.
Good. You been out on the water?
Yes.
You got a report for us? Let's hear it.
All right, so last weekend, on Monday, Memorial Day.
Yep.
I was fishing off the beach, and I caught a 30-inch snook.
Nice.
Nice. That's awesome. So what were you using, Bradley? Can you share?
Well, first, I was using a live target, and it wasn't working. And then, what was that called?
A threadfin.
Mm-hmm.
And I ripped the tail off, and then I tossed it in front of him, and then he ate it.
Bam!
That's how it works.
The fight was on.
Yep.
That's awesome. Very cool.
And then I wanted to talk about that the tarpon are starting to come back off the beaches.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to come. And then my dad went on an offshore trip. He caught vermilion snapper, yellowtail snapper, and big mangrove snapper.
Yeah, there's been big ones out
there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Go, Dad. And hopefully he brought a few of those home for dinner, right?
Yes. And he caught some red snapper.
Awesome.
Big American red.
I hope he caught them yesterday.
Yeah, big grouper and a 10-pound tuna.
Yeah.
Nice. That is way cool. Sounds like a great day. And I know your dad's got a birthday coming up, or is it today?
It's today.
Happy birthday, Robert. That's awesome. So, well, good.
Good to
hear that he got out there to do some fishing in honor of his birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, then again, I don't really think any of you guys need a special occasion to go fishing, right? It's just something that the Finch family does.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, that's awesome stuff. Happy for your dad and happy for you that you got out there. So, got any fishing plans on the agenda for this weekend or for this week coming up?
We might head out on the water.
Yeah, you should. I highly recommend you hit that outgoing today.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep an eye on the weather. But you guys know this. Yep. Any bass, Bradley? You had a chance to wet a line in the freshwater a little bit, or no?
No.
Yeah. Well, maybe
we want to plan a trip to go bass fishing somewhere soon. Maybe up to Okeechobee or something.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Well, there's definitely. Yeah, and there's definitely some local spots that have been turning on lately, too, which is good. So, well, awesome stuff, Bradley. Thanks so much for calling in. It is good to hear from you, as always. You going to be out there celebrating National Fishing and Boating Week and taking a friend fishing this week?
Yeah.
Very cool. You taking out Noah, or are you going to take a new friend out?
Maybe Noah.
Cool.
Or a new friend. Maybe both.
All right.
I like it. That's the spirit. That is the spirit.
All my friends, they have gnus now.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to have a gnu fleet.
Yep.
Well, good deal. Good stuff. Awesome. Well, Bradley, you have a great weekend. Happy birthday again to your dad. Say hi to Mom, and we will catch up with you next Saturday.
All right. You have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling in and for finding us at the new address.
Tight lines.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yep.
Bradley's always out there.
Yeah, I see
Family's
him.
Always
I see him
out
at the
there
marina.
Catching fish. It's great to see. Really good to see. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I would like to address, Greg, is, you know, the wads of braid that I find in our washing machine.
Oh, my gosh. We're going there?
Can you please stop putting wads of braid in your pocket?
Okay.
It's not good for our washing machine.
Again, I think this is good here. This is, good post-fishing etiquette, Greg.
Yeah.
Can you at least empty your pockets, please, before you...
Yeah, before you load the washing machine. Although, I will give him a lot of credit in the respect that he washes all of his own clothes. So, you know.
That's true. That's true.
And we have a pretty non-traditional household in the respect that, you know, Greg does all the cooking. Yeah. I do zero.
That's true.
Maybe a brownie here or there from time to time. Or, you know, cookies if there's a Christmas party or an event.
That's true. That's true.
But for the most part,
That would be a good question for spouses of fishing people. What is the most disgusting thing you found in the pocket of your fishing significant other?
That's a great question.
I can tell you there's a couple times. Okay, so I have found sometimes. I remember I've washed thoroughly some shrimp in my pocket before.
You have.
And dried it.
You had shrimp in the washing machine.
I went through the washing machine because sometimes when I remember when I, this was years ago, I would go wading out off of Sanibel, right by the causeway.
That's when the bull shark bumped you.
No,
by the way.
that was at the rocks on Sanibel. That was a different place.
Oh,
that. But I was waiting. Oh, okay. I was waiting off of Sanibel Causeway. You can, because there's a big flat there right before the toll plaza, and I used to walk out there with my jigs, and I would tip them with shrimp. Just you put a little tip of shrimp on them, and so I would just buy a dozen shrimp, and I would stick them in my pocket.
I was just going to say, what would prompt you to put shrimp in your pocket?
Well, I'm standing waist high in water, so right. I just stick them in my pocket, and a few get out, and a few of them die, whatever. And I just happened to probably use a bunch of them that day, because there's a lot of redfish on that flat. There's a little heads up for anybody who just wants to go wade fishing. Easy access, and jigs tipped with shrimp is all I used. And I went home, you know, undressed, threw my clothes in the washer and washed them, and then threw them in the dryer and dried them. And I think the next time I wore the shorts, I reached in there and they were like freeze dried shrimp.
Lovely.
Yeah. It happened.
Thank goodness that hasn't happened recently.
Well, I don't need to do that. I have, you know, we're talking like 20 years ago probably when I did that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Give or take. Right. Yeah. Anyways, wads of braid, not good for the whirlpool. I'm just saying.
Well,
okay.
Sometimes when you have a problem with line, you get these wind knots, Rick. And so you have to strip some line off your reel and then cut it and then start over. So you ball that line up and put it in your pocket because you're not going to throw it in the ocean.
I will also give you kudos for disposing
of it. So it goes in your pocket.
And then you forget.
You forget about it and then you wash it and it comes out usually in the you don't say anything about if there's money left over in the
No, of course I don't.
Well, that all
Are you
makes
kidding?
Sense, Greg. Maybe just check your pockets before you throw your pants in the wash. That's all I'm saying. You know, you're right. If there was a $20 bill in there, you probably wouldn't forget it.
I don't think I'd hear about it either.
Yeah, no, probably not.
No, you wouldn't.
It'd be gone.
Exactly. No. I mean, I there's been a Senko, you know, sort of like dried up in my my cup holder from time to time, but that's it.
Rick, we've been talking about making her clean up the 17,000 boxes of lures she has in the garage. That's just this random hodgepodge of crap
Funny
everywhere.
Thing, it's time to go to break.
Yes.
Yeah, you're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters.
What's up? Good to be back.
How's it going over there, Mr. Bee Gees fan?
It's good. We're going to continue our conversation about the garage. I think that we can have the listeners.
I think the listeners
moving forward from week to week can ask how your progress is on getting the... My buddy Chef Greg here would understand. Greg, I got this shelving from restaurants. It's like 8-10 feet wide. You know, the green ones, they put them in their walk-ins. They're huge shelving, completely stacked, full of all kinds of crap. Some of it's brand new, some of it's rusted. We got these tackle boxes with one thing in them. It's pretty...
Listen, there is a method to my madness.
It's pretty...
And besides, we have been a little busy this season. Mm. So when things start to slow down, we got this rain that's coming in. Mm. I can't be on the water.
Why doesn't Greg have a lot of fishing crap, as he so eloquently put it? You don't have a lot of fishing crap?
No,
he
I don't.
Definitely does.
No.
He has more fishing crap than me.
Whoa.
What?
Yes.
I have more rods.
You have more rods than me.
Not more fishing crap. I'm
going
to take a picture of this.
No.
I'm going to send it into the show next week.
I am
going to
take a picture of this because there are these they were soft plastic like crab lures at one point in time. Somebody gave them to you. I don't know who. But they are now like so old and hard that they've like disintegrated and broke them into pieces. But they're yours. I'm not going to just throw away your stuff.
Okay, well, you can throw those away. I have no problems with that.
Okay, so now you've delegated
I'm
me
just saying,
cleaning up your
moving
tackle.
Through the rest of the summer, it would be nice for our listeners to know if you are getting things done, tidying up, getting it organized, so we have a little more room on that shelf. That's all I'm saying.
We We have plenty of room.
How many empty tackle boxes do you think you have on that shelf? Just
they're not empty. They're not empty. I need everything in those tackle boxes.
Would you say there's 40 of them or 50?
There's definitely not 40.
Tackle boxes?
They're like the Plano. Are you talking about trays or are you talking about actual tackle boxes?
Oh, no. Actual tackle boxes is only like 4. The trays.
There could be 5.
There could be
the
5.
The trays,
I'm going to go with 30.
Listen, you have to have different trays. You have to keep all your soft plastics distinctly separated. You cannot mix Z-Mans in with anything else.
I picked up one of the trays the other day. It had one lure in it.
Listen,
it was a spoon. It was a spoon. Like she's not using a spoon.
I was starting to organize, and then maybe I got interrupted. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So anyway, I would just like to say we got a text from our good friend, Crazy Alberto Nee. He said, crazy here. Nothing wrong with the Bee Gees. 77 was a good year.
Well, I don't know about that. Alberto, but okay.
But he sent us this phenomenal picture of, it looks like he was on an offshore trip. I'm guessing this was probably somewhere out of New York or New Jersey back in the 70s. And look at Crazy Alberto.
Wow.
Rocking the jeans.
He looks exactly like he does now.
He does look pretty similar, as a matter of fact.
Look, you got somebody down here that says they'll come take all your stuff.
What a great picture.
I was going to say, we got a text saying, hey, if you don't want all that fishing crap.
I try to put together a big bundle of stuff, and I'll either call Deborah Frankel over at the Freedom Waters Foundation. They sell it at their flea market, or I pass it down to the next generation. I've got some young ladies that I've been working with, and some of them are, they're on a tight budget, so I share the love.
Pack rats. They don't really give. Or they take a little, and they give a little, and they take a little. And then what a pack rat does, he gives you something, and he steals something.
Pack rats just keep accumulating stuff. I don't think they ever give anything away.
No, we have a rat down here. People can help me out with this. I can't remember the name of him. I remember back when I was in Boy Scouts, there was like a rat that would give you something and steal something from you. So like if it liked your watch, it might leave you like a wrapper from a piece of gum.
I don't know anything about that species of rat, Greg.
I'm sticking with it. I was in the Boy Scouts. I remember.
I'm sure that there are quite a few other people out there that could possibly be classified as fishing tackle and gear hoarders. But I'm just saying, I'm not a hoarder. I'm just strategically setting aside some things for a rainy day when I have an opportunity to sort through it. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. And we got a fantastic picture of future Captain Finch with his beautiful snook that he caught off the beach. Look at how nice and light and silvery white that snook is. Just
the water's
absolutely
clean.
Beautiful. Clean. Yep. Beautiful water. Bradley, congratulations. And we just want to say to those of you who are texting, and thank you, and hopefully you've noticed that we've got this phenomenal autoresponder that's going out to everyone who sends us a text.
We do?
Lets them know that, hey, you're now listening to us at 770 AM, 104.3 FM in Fort Myers, and 101.5 FM in Naples. And it thanks everyone for their loyalty and patience.
By the way, a 239, lighten up. It's not bickering. We're just having fun, okay? Come on. I mean, we're crying out loud.
We're talking about issues that families have.
That's right. This is what's called lifestyle radio, okay?
The struggle is real.
It is. Do you not ever have issues with your wife over what she keeps stacked on your shelves?
I'm sure Bradley's mom has a couple times been like, can you leave the weights at home in the boat, not in your pockets?
Oh, my gosh. No, for real.
59 Cent MD 2020 says, listening to this segment, come up with a new store idea. Fish Crap R Us.
For donations. That's funny.
There you go.
I mean, it's one of those things. Those of you who have fishing, a little fishing tackle and gear accumulated from over the years, you can, I'm sure, relate to this.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, you never know when you might need that soft plastic crab that's kind of
mushy,
partially disintegrated.
Now, can you not imagine that there are like thousands of fishing wives or husbands out there who are constantly going, why do you have to have so much fishing stuff in our garage?
For her, right? Instead of shoes, I guess it's a good thing. It's fishing equipment.
There you go. It could be worse, Greg.
No, it's, and yeah, it's never a bad thing to have fishing tackling gear instead of having 100 pairs of shoes.
What's your favorite freshwater piece of equipment then? What's your favorite lure?
My favorite lure?
What's the one that you have to have in the garage?
I would say I have a vintage hula popper that goes back to probably right around 1977 from when I used to go fishing with my grandfather that I will not ever let go of.
Well, that's more.
And the little rubber skirt on the back end of it is pretty much disintegrated, but there's just some really good memories associated with that hula popper. So that's a fact. That's a fact of the matter.
Put that in a little frame.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Well, in one of those little shadow boxes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, for sure. Yeah. So you said we've gotten some good reports from the offshore.
My wife tried to throw away my G. Loomis rod collection because they were old.
Whoa.
Now you get a little crazy.
6'3", no. No. Oh, my gosh. Well, it sounds like you caught her in the nick of time. Thank goodness. All right.
That would be a problem.
Yeah, and I agree, Rick. Oh, my gosh. 239, really? I'm sorry, but yeah. These are real life struggles that we all go through.
I agree. I would think, you know, that would be a great fishing topic. Like, you know, how much is too much, you know, before the...
When do you say when?
Like, yeah, when does the wife or husband go, okay, enough with the fishing stuff? And then somebody else just texted and he said, my father-in-law's a crabber. Try having 2,000 crab traps in your yard.
That you have to clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's just it. Because you always want to be upfront about these things. Because the fact of the matter is that if you're not, then I think your spouse just starts sneaking stuff, right? So you might as well just be upfront about the fact that you've got all this fishing gear, because otherwise they start ordering stuff under the radar. And then it's like, oh,
the text line's blowing up.
What is this box that just arrived again
maybe that's
from Tackle Warehouse?
Confession you should make before you get married. By the way, I collect a lot of fishing
stuff. She gets
stuff
a lot of packages.
I'm just
now
warning really you. Oh, I bet she does.
Brenda caught another nice red this morning. Very nice.
Oh, nice, no Alex. Spot on. That's awesome. 30 inches. Yep. Go. Captain Alex and Brenda McCann. That is just awesome. All right, wait. Do we need to go off to a break, Rick? Am I getting distracted here, which happens quite often? Yeah, okay. All right. We are going to head off to a break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
Me to be what they want me to be, but I can't be nobody else but me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.